This week I prayed for certain people to show up today because I wanted to like share with them. I was super stoked that Elaine was here. Hey, Elaine. Even more surprised about Shay being here. I want to connect what Shay shared with Bill and the body to what Melissa and I were sharing, like, just amongst ourselves, and also what the Lord's been, like, really hammering into me. And I'm really glad Marshall and Michelle are here. Everybody else super stoked, too. But if anybody's heard Marshall preach, I got a lot of energy to live up to. So I was telling Bill before the service got started that one of the things that I want to really deposit is nothing of me. It really is the fact that each one of us is so creative. Do you guys believe that? Who doesn't believe that they are creative? Be brave and raise your hand if you don't think you are. Okay, Dan, we can dismantle that real fast. So Dan, across his life, has done many things. I'm so glad you raised your hand. Not only does he grow things, he grows people. He's raised some beautiful children. He's raised kids that weren't his own. I'm a living example of many times of advice that Dan's given me. And I could say over and over again that the way that Dan and Jody have loved me and my children, if you have known us for a long time, it's an amazing picture of what Jesus would do for those that don't believe they have space. And like sometimes I'll look over and see Jody interacting with one of my kids, and it like really messes me up. Dan gave me some great advice. I could give you the exact day and the exact moment of my life several times. But advice that changed my life and changed the way that I love and changed the way that I see love. So you've created things that you don't see as creative because it's not an art platform. But art isn't about creativity. The creator created you to be creative and express the facet and wonder and mystery of who the Lord is to the people around you. Isn't that good? Good thing it didn't come from me. Proverbs 3. So, Father, we just lean into your wisdom and your understanding and your mystery and your anointing, and we lean away from our own understanding and our carnal thoughts. And by your Holy Spirit, we ask that we would learn this morning. In Jesus' name. Jim, can we put up a picture of the well, if you don't mind? What I'm going to do is I'm going to go back to what I shared last week, and he's got time. I'm really cool with the time. I shared about Abraham, had four altars. We'll bring that up in a minute, but this is Jacob's Well. It's an artist depiction, but how many people know that Jacob's Well is still operational? Did you all know that? Good. I didn't either. Okay, so Jacob, how did Jacob get his well? He bought the land, paid 100 pieces of silver from the father of, I'm going to butcher the name, but Shechem, the shoulder. The land is the same land that Abraham built his first altar. I didn't put that together. So I was really like unraveled by the fact that what the Lord was speaking to me about the four altars of my own life. Jim, will you put up that first slide with the four altars? These four altars were what the Lord spoke to me and said, if you accept my invitation into these things, I will do something new in your life. And he's already started to do that, and I'm going to explain kind of what's been happening. So this altar of praise was the first altar that he made. So when you guys think altar of praise, like, what is that? What is an altar of praise? It's a place. And so we've built a location, and we've set it aside for the Lord, and we've given him all praise. Not song, not dance, but it could be that. but really, we've turned our heart in submission to who he is in every space in our heart. So Abraham built a place for his family and said, you know what? This place represents who God is. And in this place, we praise him for who he is, what he's done. Last week we talked about what he has done, what he's doing currently, and what he will do. And that scripture and that song that we sing, we've shared it, you know, for he has done great things. That Andre Crouch, amazing song. Well, the scripture, when David was saying he's done great things, he will do great things. So past, present, and future, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. And I heard a guy that only says Abraham, Isaac, and Israel because he refuses to call Jacob Jacob because it's not his name. Now, if you guys can go back with me, there was a man from England or Scotland. I'm not sure. He's about this tall. He had red hair. His name was Andrew Murray. You guys remember that? The one thing I took away that weekend and was completely run over by was that we call Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus. It's not its name. He's healed. You don't tell somebody that is now can see, that was blind, you don't continue to call them blind. So think about this. How do we relate to one another? Do you relate to the Lord in what he hasn't done? Or do you relate to the Lord in what he is doing or will do? Do you only relate to other people by what they carry, like the baggage that you see on them? Or do you relate to them in what the Lord sees in them? The Lord convicted me hugely and said, this altar of praise that you're building for yourself then feeds your family and feeds other people. You know how people say in a plane, if you don't put the oxygen mask on first, everyone else around you is going to die. But how many people, when you've heard that, you thought, well, if I ever have to do that, I hope I think of it, because usually you think of the person next to you. Does that make sense? An example is like when I was in a minivan with Jody years ago, somebody pulled out in front of us and she's like, wham, right across my chest, you know, like protecting me while she was locking up the brakes. And I was like nervous. I don't know if she was distracted driving. We didn't have texting then, but she was definitely like looking out for me first. You know how you do that with your kids? I think Melissa and I got in an accident and I hit her in the face. It was worse than the accident. I mean, so you got to think about this. The Lord started to speak this to me. And I highlighted altar of praise because you guys can look at these things on your own. I really encourage you to share what the Lord's doing, what he has done, and what he will do. If we position our heart from a place of praise, I feel like he's going to release us into something new. Does that make sense? I'm not sure what order the scriptures are in, but whatever the next one is cool with me. Oh, great. Genesis 12:6. So Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moriah. And I wanted to say Moria, but it's Moriah, it's fine. At Shechem. And at the time, the Canaanites were in the land, or Canaanites. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. So how many things is the Lord speaking in your life currently that he's asked you to set something aside or to rebuild what he's given you? How many places in your heart do you feel like the Lord has spoken to you and told you, this is your land, build on it? So the real cool part about this, a couple of things, and you guys can do this on your own, but if you're going to take notes, this is a good time. So the great trees of Moriah at Shechem, one valley over is the valley of Eli, or the valley of great oaks or trees. It's the very valley where David slaughtered Goliath. And so basically, there's so many things that I was so unaware of, because some of us, once we're saved and we get in a certain position in our life, like most of the New Testament, just being honest, is what really speaks to your heart and speaks to this position of grace and this freedom from the law that we have. But the key components of what the Lord spoke mean so much more to me now because I'm a dad and a husband, and I want to now at age 40 to father, like what I said about Dan, not only my own children, but want to leave a deposit like this piece of land that will bless my offspring and the people that come from them. So Shay's word connects to that. Not about me, it's about you guys. It's about what part of ownership do you have in this land that then to your offspring does it bless? I have no idea, but that really is a call that there's a level of involvement that I don't know what you do with that, but think about it, pray about it. Let's go to the next scripture. Jacob's well. So it's place of the shoulder, it's place of strength. You know, some people say, lean into something or put your shoulder into it. Has anyone physically ran over someone? Not in a car, guys, come on. How many people play football and you've actually laid someone out in the physical? Now, there's a feeling, both good and bad. If it happens to you, you remember it well. If you do it to someone else, it's a different memory. Same level of pain's involved, but in one way, you have victory, and in one way, the pain is totally different. So the Lord spoke this to me, and think about this application for your own life. Which side of that lesson do you want to be on? I'm not saying the Lord's going to run over you. That's not it. What I am saying is that we allow ourselves to run over us. We allow the thoughts to come in. Last week after service, Pam King came up and grabbed my face, and she prayed some really awesome words and then sent me a scripture. There was something so anointed about her grabbing my face for a really long time that first thing sets in, because we're human, and we get past the first awkward moment, and then we realize the deposit that she's actually given to me, and then I realize what's behind it, and then I realize the fruit that comes from it. But I had a choice to surrender, wave the white flag, and really come under what she was saying. Like, every single thing that someone speaks is so interconnected. If we're not willing to perceive it, that's the very presence of God. And I have missed it for so long. And here, one little sidewell. So when people go on mission trips, they come back and they're like, man, there's an open heaven in Africa. Everyone got healed. Come back to Avon, they're like, man, there's no open heaven. You know, three people got healed. That's not true. The truth is that you didn't have anything else to do when you were in Africa. You didn't have anything else to do. You didn't have a job. You didn't have a wife. You didn't have a kid. You didn't have nap time. You didn't have bills. If you had bills, you weren't really caring because you were gone. You were like, so you're in this place. You're 24/7 in the Lord's presence. You're now aware of the Lord in a way that you couldn't be in the place you were. And so the Lord started speaking to me, and I've been gone, so this is why it's like really, you know, applying. I say these things, and then I realize, like, Melissa's at home, like, doing the work of the everyday life that we all have that sometimes distracts us. And what's interesting about it is, like, she has been hearing from the Lord for a long time in the midst of that distraction. Like, and I wasn't always aware, so I'd have, like, little pockets of awareness and be so excited about it. But what if the Lord's inviting us into full-time awareness of what he's saying? Well, it's not that he is inviting us, it's that he has invited us, and we're way behind, like me, way behind. Okay, so before I share this, on Tuesday, after I shared on Sunday, I told the joke about Dennis standing in the full-length mirror. If you weren't here for that, I was just saying that Dennis probably can look in a full-length mirror, and I haven't looked in one for a very long time. Monday morning, I dropped the kids off at school. I was getting out of the gas station. I had Harper in the car. They have two different drop-offs, so long story short, I hear somebody say, Chris! And I was like, what? Nobody should know me at this gas station. I'm in a hoodie and shorts. And it was Dennis, fully suited up, like American flag, Israel flag, like on his lapel. I was like, what? He looked like Secret Service. And he said, I was just at a banquet this morning, praying, Christian breakfast, leadership, legislators, like all kinds of stuff. I was like, I'm just taking the kids to school. So, he joked with me about that full-length mirror thing, but he was ready to experience whatever. And so as he left that touch point, like I had this word for him. It was super simple, but I thought, well, I won't share it because it's too simple. But really, I just texted him and said, man, I feel like you're going to have this strategy for someone that's going through something. You could say that to anyone. But you don't say it to anyone because the Lord didn't prompt you to say it to anyone. He said, say this simple thing to Dennis. Dennis responds back, hasn't happened yet, but I'm standing, you know, or I'm in this. Simple response. So how many times has the Lord called us to do something very simple and we get it in our head that, well, I can't say, do you have a brother? You know, that's like 50-50. You know, the Lord's speaking things to you and reminding you and giving you inklings in your spirit and little pushes so that you will be walking in that kind of open heaven, for lack of a better term, experience. Does that make sense? Good. So I've built this personal altar. I mean, I'm starting to. I haven't really know what all that encompasses of praise. So that's really me standing and praising the Lord for all that he's done in the past, what he's doing currently, and what he will do for my family, Melissa, Iris Harper, and the family to come, grandkids, whatever that happens. So then the Lord speaks, and I see the connections. Those are real connections. You guys can do your historical study. It's amazing. Abraham's land, Jacob's well, Abraham's altar, Jacob's well. Some church has currently bought that, and it's like all ornate and beautiful around it now, like as a protected holy site. I've never been over there, but some of you might have been there to the well. Maybe not. Okay, John 4:14. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And we say, spring up, oh well. But that's like a tough scripture in Numbers to wrap your mind around. So I went to there and I thought, that's not what he's saying. This is Jesus speaking to someone who has dealt with massive rejection and explaining to this person of rejection, hey, you're included. Now go include your city. So, hey, Lyle, you're included. I don't say that. I'm just saying, hey, Dad, what do you want me to tell someone? It's true. You're included. The words that you speak to each other can be the very words of God. They're not, you don't practice the words of the Lord from a place of, do I have to get a profound experience? You practice the words of the Lord and experiences come from them. So I was telling Bill that, you know, he has these experiences. Now, I have two choices. I could be like, well, I want to have experiences like that. Or I can say, you know what, Bill, there's an open heaven for when you're having this kind of experience. I, too, want an open heaven. I think I should engage and encourage whatever's happening to you. Then when that happens to me, it may look 100% different. So I leave on Tuesday, and I drive to the hotel, and I have to unpack because I can't go straight to work because I have to go drive, then take a shower and get situated and then, like, get my mind right and then go. So I left the lights on the car. And when I came back down, the battery was dead. I have to be to work. It's only like a 12-minute drive. So I went and asked the guy at the desk if they had jumper cables. They didn't have jumper cables, but they'd have some later, so I just got an Uber. So when I got the Uber, this 50 or 60, I'm not sure how young, African-American man named Todd Carr picked me up. Got in the car, and he's listening to jazz, and I really felt like I was going to say something to him. And so he tells me a little bit. He lived in 5 or 6 different places, retired Air Force, lots of things, like had a really amazing life, and he's driving Uber. And so I just said, hey, I really feel like the Lord's given you some strategies in your business, and the way that you're serving your mom and taking care of her is going to, you know, really release something in your life. I'm in the back seat. I mean, what's he going to do? He has to take me, right? So he said, he puts his glasses on, reading glasses. That's why I knew he was at least 50. So he put his reading glasses on. And he said, if my mom was in the car, her name is Marie. If my mom was in the car, she would pull over. We would all lay hands on each other. She'd be laying hands on you right now, praying in the spirit, prophesying. And I was so encouraged. And then right before we got out of the car, I was like, well, we got to exchange an email. Like, I don't know what we do. Do we take a selfie? I wasn't sure. And he was like, no, we just exchange emails. But then I emailed him, and I was real excited. So I sent it to Bill and Melissa. And I was like, man, I emailed him. You know, I thought this was so great. He didn't respond for days. But then he responded. And he responded like, hey, man, thank you so much for praying into my mom's business. The investment that you made, you have no idea. And I can't wait to get together for dinner next week. And I thought, I'm going to be in Columbus, Ohio. I'm going to be eating dinner maybe at a stranger's house. I wasn't sure if we did do public place. I wasn't sure. So then they told, and then there's a sidebar to this, but they told me where they went to church. And instantly he said, hey, don't judge me when I tell you where I go to church. And I said, why? And he said, well, I'm going to tell you, and then you're going to know, and then we'll understand. He said, we go because we know we're called to serve in this place. We know it's not perfect. We don't apologize for it. But we know that the Lord's called us to be a light there, and we go further, right? So now all I want to know is what church it is. So he tells me the name of the church, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, Rod Parsley, right? And so then my mind, I was like, but what? You know, I know some people that are really awesome people like Chris Elliott. Like, the dude knew the word. Like, love some kids. And I told him, I was like, I know this kid, Chris Elliott. I mean, he's not a kid anymore, but he's got these kids. And he went there, and he's like, Chris Elliott? And I was like, no, that can't be right. And he's like, my mom might know him. And I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, I was overwhelmed. So we exchanged information. And, you know, one thing I took away from that was we all landed here at Bread of Life for various reasons, right? I don't know any of your individual church stories that well, but I know the church was birthed by wanting more. It was birthed by wanting freedom. So along with all those things come all the things that come with it. And so it really struck me today that not one of us in the room understand fully what the Lord's speaking. Not one of us in the room can put our hand on what should or shouldn't be done. But one person can, the Lord himself. So what happens if we respond to a word that came from Shay? That was a word from this morning. You just scribed that out. She scribes a word out, and it's about the testimonies of this building, the testimonies of the body. The building is the body, not the place. You guys are the building, right? So we're one big family of testimony. If every person were to share their story, or pizza, I was hungry. Pizza! Or pieces of it. See, the truth will come out, guys. I'm purging the bad stuff. If every person this week will share pieces at the Lord's prompting of your story, imagine what that looks like. Yeah, we're all sliced. Thanks, Ralph. Really bringing it, man. And this is why you can see past, like, each one of our shortcomings. I don't think I'm that smart, but I know there are a lot of people in this room that are. And I know there are a lot of people in this room that have anointing from the Lord for strategies. And by strategies, I mean like divine ideas that he's given you on how to reach people, how to reach your family, how to reach other people. Without the team or the family, we're just one resounding sound that no one can hear. Does that make sense? For instance, this morning, did you guys like between songs we were really waiting on the Lord to go into the next song? Thanks, fam. We weren't waiting on the Lord. We were waiting on me to get this time signature out of my body. So anybody that plays music, like there's this 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3. And you'll see me count up there sometimes. And I'm sure Steve, I just looked at the floor because I was like, Steve's probably like, ha ha, you know. I mean, laughing with us, not at us. So what happens is the whole team up there is waiting on me to work it out. And there was lots of pressure. And I thought, you know, man, we're not perfect. So how exposed have you ever been where, you know, 84 people, adults, are looking at you and going, are you going to get it together? Like, I didn't feel like that. What I felt like was, there's something missing that I can go back and practice later. And I've tried lots. Like sometimes when I get stuck in this time, then I got to get into a new time. So Dustin was like, Chris, he's like, call, you know, he was like, that's still six. That's still six. And then he was like, all right, let me just do it. So we stop, take a breath. He puts it in four. We lock it in four. Next thing you know, we're on to this medley of what the Lord spoke to Melissa, and we get into it, right? That's really what the Lord's doing. Maybe we're stuck in the way we've always done things. Maybe we're stuck, like, thinking that the square peg fits in the round hole. Over and over and over, we're trying to push something to make it happen, and maybe it just isn't going to happen that way. Okay, next scripture. Awesome. For 100 pieces of silver he bought from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, the plot of ground where he pitched his tent. Kevin talked about pitching tents this morning, right? Expanding our tents. Is that true? Pitching tents. So what land has the Lord given you with whatever price you've paid for it? Like, think about land as in possessions of the Spirit. What price did the Lord pay for your testimony? That's a big price he paid. What response to his ability for what he's done for us do we have to let people know about him? There's two ways to look at that. Either you feel like a slave bought by a certain price, or you feel like a freed son or daughter bought by grace to now reach your hand out and be an extension of who he is. And I'm choosing the second one. I've chosen the first one before. Like, hey, look at me. Look at what I can do. Look at who I am. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm really important, and here's why. That feeds you for like 2 seconds. And when you walk away and you realize nobody wants to hear that, when you go and feed someone else and you say, hey, Darren, I feel like your voice sounds like it should be on the radio and you should start a podcast. I've never felt more cool just on a personal note with the Lord than when Darren said, yeah, the Lord's already spoke that to me. I'm doing that. And he didn't say it like that, but I heard it like, oh my goodness, I just encouraged someone, but the Lord had already encouraged them, and he's just bringing us together and saying, guys, I've been speaking this to you for a long time. You just didn't connect the dots, but now that you have, like, here's this experience. He touches both of our hearts. Do you see what I'm saying? Okay. Next scripture. King James Version. Finally saved. Psalm 22:3. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Okay, we know that the Lord inhabits our praises. This was the one version that said it in a way that sounded like he was living inside the praises. Like, when I read it to myself over and over, it sounded so regal, like the Lord was putting that perspective into my mind. Not that he rides on a song, but he can do that. He rides on the individual and is enthroned, and we put him in a place of lordship over our life by thanking him and praising him for who he is, what he's done, and what he will do. That kind of lordship feels like freedom. It feels like when I share a word in public with somebody that I thought maybe would be a non-believer, the Lord instantaneously puts, like, your heart at, you know, a slower pace, and he really says, hey, man, every person you come in contact with, I'm going to speak to you. Now, there were other times when I was telling Melissa, there was a couple people I was trying to just ask them questions about their life, but because the Lord was speaking to me about the positions of brokenness in their life, and then other people were affirming it around them at work, like, I couldn't say the same things to them. Like, it wasn't on, there was no grace for me to speak to someone's life where I know that they're not in a position yet, and they're not tender enough to receive what the Lord's saying. Does that make sense? I've never had that kind of discernment. So if you guys have that, that's great. But if you don't have it and want it, I feel like the Lord's saying that when we build those four altars in our life, we're reaping the benefit of the father of our faith, who then was the father of Jesus. Does that make sense? I'll make two other historical connections, and then we're going to pray for people. So, Tabernacle of David. How many years did the Tabernacle of David have 24/7 worship and praise? Anyone? Jody? How many? Steve? Steve's exactly right. You knew that. 33 years. So we're called to be the restoration of the Tabernacle of David. We are actually the new song, and by song, I don't mean just the notes. The words that come out of your mouth, that come from a position of the Lord's heart, those are a song. Those are the creative force, like what we said about Dan Smith, the words of the Lord, the wisdom of the Lord that comes out of your heart, that fathers people that aren't your kids, that fathers and mothers your own kids. Does that make sense? So David was an example for 33 years of continuous giving it to the Lord. Jesus walked the earth for 33 years, paid a price for us to be the exact replica, not replica, that's a bad word. Yeah, say it again. Firstborn. We are and have been encouraged to live by one human's example. Jesus, fully human. He didn't just come down as fully human as God so that we could be like, wow, God, that's cool that you did all that stuff. He came down to show us that there was a possibility that we could do that too. Last thing. So now we know that he's enthroned on our praises. I encourage you that by your testimonies that you send in, write in, share, those testimonies, those chapters in the book, whatever the Lord continues to speak about that word, that's amazing. However that looks, the importance is that you share the testimony, big or small. You have no idea what a few sentences will do to free someone else up. I got a prophetic word from a really little girl at Morningstar. We went into a prophetic booth, and I was like so bummed. I hadn't got the Holy Spirit yet. I was brand new, first conference. There was a young girl that prayed for me. I was so bummed that like a little kid was going to pray for me. That's just where I was at the time. I was like, man, can I get a word from like whoever you think's awesome? Like, can I just get a word from Bob Jones? Nope, this girl prayed for me. It was about like receiving a hug. It was crazy. I was a mess. It was terrible. But it was, the Lord was removing something in that moment. So how many moments do you walk into with the wrong mindset that he's trying to give you the right position? Okay. Bobby Connor did share a word over me. And it wasn't cool. He put his hands on my shoulders and he went like this. Shaking it off, and he said, hey, I feel like you're going to help people release burdens. And then he walked on to other people in class and gave these crazy words. And I walked away from that feeling like, why didn't I get a cool word? You know, why didn't I get like, you're going to go to the nations? And, you know, I don't really want, I mean, I'll go to the nations. I don't mind that. But, I mean, like, sometimes we feel like we should be, like, more light in the moment should be shined on the places that are unhealed in your ego. For me, that's true. If it's not true for you, that's fine. So the Lord was just speaking to me, and he brought those words back. And I was telling you last week, I started writing down all the words that the Lord spoke over me through other people, and that word meant the most. I feel freed up that my job currently is to release burdens off of my family, off of myself, to the best of my ability, and to release burdens for other people. I feel like he created each one of us with a certain physical and spiritual stature to do those things. Why did he create each one of us in the size, the look, the personality. Like, why did he create each one of us so different? If he just wanted a bunch of people to follow rules and worship him, we'd all be exactly the same. And we're not, for very specific reasons. So when we get ask people to come up and pray and we give words of knowledge and we do those things, how about we come to it with a position of, why not today, Lord? Why would you want one person in the body of Christ to go on with something that's not from Jesus? Why would we have to live with pain or disease or sickness? We don't. I don't know how it works when people get healed. I don't know the formula, but I do know that the Lord's heart is to release those burdens from people. So I say that we pray for them, every person that has an ailment or that gets called out by somebody that's prophetic, that we pray for them in full faith as a body that they're going to get healed, that we don't call them by the name of their sickness any longer. I'm not Chris Jones, whoever I thought I was or wanted to be before. I'm not sure what I am going forward. And I'm okay with that. But I know for sure that when you see the change, or whatever that change looks like, or the highlighting of the good stuff, that I'm going to see it in you too. And I say that's what we call each other by. So I'm not going to make the transition into prayer time, but somebody's going to. Does that make sense? Come on, Kevin. No, come on up.